Let us pray. Heavenly Father, allow us to always remember the depth of your love, that you would sacrifice your Son, your only Son, for our sakes, that the work on the cross, the dying breath of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was all the work that we needed for salvation, that the resurrection is our hope, is the promise of the salvation that we are to enjoy. So God, I pray this morning that you would allow us to know nothing but the resurrection, that we will boast in nothing but in Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ is our rock, is our salvation, is our Redeemer, is our Lord. And so Lord, forbid us from ever forgetting that Christ is our all. We thank you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. If you have your Bibles, we invite you to open up your Bibles and follow along. This is the ESV translation, James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Dr. Arthurs is currently professor of preaching and communication and chair of the Division of Practical Theology at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary. He holds a doctorate degree in communication and master's degrees in theology and speech. His expertise is preaching. In the past, he served as a teaching pastor in Portland, Oregon. Currently, Dr. Arthurs is a teaching elder at his home church, North Shore Community Baptist, in Beverly Farms, Massachusetts. He's accompanied today by his wife, Liz. Dr. Arthurs has been a blessing to us with the power of God's word and imparting hope, correction, and encouragement at our co-workers retreat this past week, speaking on the topic of standing firm together. Please give a warm welcome to Dr. Arthurs.
Thank you. Good morning to you. Good to be with one of the great fine churches on the east coast of the U.S. As Pastor James said, we just finished a co-workers retreat Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and it was a terrific retreat. So good to be with those core members of the church, and undoubtedly some of you were at that retreat also. Well, the theme of the retreat was standing firm together, unity, teamwork, standing firm together. And I'd like to continue that theme, at least in part, by talking about one of the primary tools we have for unity, standing firm, and that tool is words. Language, as the scripture says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. The power of death, yeah, in words, the power of life, thankfully, yes, in the words that we say. What you say, who you say it to, the tone of voice you use, the timing of your saying it, will greatly determine the success of your relationships, of your work, your marriage, your relationships. It will greatly determine the success of this church. It's not the only factor, but it's a big one. It's a big one. What you say, how you say it, when you say it, tone of voice, nonverbal communication. Death, thankfully, life, are in the power of the tongue. And that's what our passage is about today, right? James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. You got your Bibles open. We're just going to walk right through the passage. And so let's begin where it begins. It begins by addressing teachers. It makes this warning and this encouragement about speech, death, and life, first of all, by coming at it by addressing teachers. And you see that right there in verses 1 and 2. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. We all stumble in many ways. So if you have the aspiration of being a teacher, put the brakes on. Think about it. Don't be eager to be a teacher. True, it is a high calling. True, you know, you can give the life, use the life-giving power of the tongue, but we will be judged more strictly than those who do not go around blah, 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 giving advice and instructing and trying to change people's minds and influence their behavior. This church, this service, the English service, is dominated by young people, right? I see so many young people here. I want you to know that when I was your age, a very long time ago, when mastodons roamed the earth, I actually had the aspiration, even at that time, to be a teacher. I think it sort of grew on me, high school, college, I went to graduate school, and I wanted to be a professor, I wanted to be a pastor, I wanted to, you know, use language and influence people and open minds and persuade. It's fine, it's fine. It is a gift, it is a spiritual gift, but here's the word. Don't be eager, because we will be judged more strictly. Now, this doctrine, this teaching on judgment doesn't get a lot of airtime in the pulpit today. We don't talk about it a lot, but it's in the Bible. And so I say to you, on the authority of the Word, teachers will be judged more strictly. What does that mean? I'm not 100% sure what it means. It may mean in this life, you know how we tend to hold accountable those who are, you know, preaching to other well-living, you know, show it to me. Don't be a hypocrite. That's true. But it may refer to the next age also. It is true we are in a covenant of grace. It is true we did nothing to deserve the Lord's blessing and mercy. It is true, nothing can pluck us from his hand. All of that is absolutely true, and somehow it is also true that there is a coming day when recompense will be made for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. Listen to the Lord Jesus. I think the Apostle James is just echoing our Lord Jesus. This is Matthew 12. He says, men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, our Lord Jesus is not preaching a gospel of good works. He's not saying you earn your way into heaven if you say three good words and two bad words. And he's not saying that. I think he's saying there is such a direct link between blah, blah, blah and the heart. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. that the heart can be judged, can be observed by the blah, blah, blah. Thus he says, by your words you will be acquitted, pronounced not guilty, justified. By your words you will be condemned. And so, Lord, help us teachers. Lord, have mercy. We all stumble in many ways, including teachers, including your pastors, including the preacher for the day. Yeah? And that's the entrance into this passage about the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. All right, he begins with encouragement then. Let's notice the encouragement, the life-giving power of the tongue. This is in verses 2 through 4. He says, if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man or perfect woman, perfect boy, perfect girl. If you do not stumble, if you don't mess up with your words, you are whole, complete, mature. That's what he means by perfect. In everything. It's probably hyperbole. It's probably a little bit of overstatement, but you get his point, don't you? If you can control this smallest member, man, you have a lot of control. He says, we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they will obey us. You know what a bit is, right? It's like about as big as my thumb. This little piece of iron, piece of metal, is connected to the reins, and that little thing directs a big old horse. Same way with your tongue. If you can control it, the tongue is like the bit. If you can control the tongue, it will direct the course of your life. That's why I begin by saying the success of your relationships, your marriage, your work, your church will largely be determined by your use of blah, blah, words. But take the encouragement, the tongue has power for good, far out of proportion to its size. You can direct a big old horse, you can direct the course of your life. I hope some of you have experienced this. I hope you have had a coach who has said, just a few puffs of air, just a few, or maybe written you a note, a few jots and slashes and dots and curves on paper, but all the power. I hope the coach has said to you, you are valuable to this team. I appreciate you, but on and off the field, that's powerful. You feel like, wow, I can do it. I matter. I hope you've had a teacher that has said to you, well done, that was beautiful. You know, you're really improving. You have a gift. I do. And those puffs of air, those phonemes and syllables can direct the course of your life, like a little old bit, a few words. I hope you've had a parent. I hope you are a parent who says, dear son, my dear daughter, I am happy you're my child. You are a gift from God. When my son, who's now 23, was a little boy, now, we used to have this sort of ritual at bedtime, and I would say, if I could line up all the little boys in the world, and if I went down the line, and I walked and walked and walked and walked and walked, and if I saw you, I would stop, and I would choose you to be my son. And then I would put my hand on his head and bless him. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he help you in school. May he give you a sense that he loves you. After a while, it becomes sort of a ritual. He started to bless me. He would say, and may God help you, Dad, because you are great, and may you... And then he sort of caught on to the, you know, the program here, and he would say, and may you give your son candy, and may you... I hope you have heard God speak a little bit of blah, blah over you. I hope you have heard him say, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Though you make your bed in the grave, I am with you. This is the life-giving power of puffs of air. It has an influence far out of proportion to the size of the tongue or the number of words. Life is in the power of the tongue, like the bit in the horse's mouth. It's like the rudder on a ship. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. And that is the life-giving power, the life-directing, the shalom potential, the shalom-producing power of language. But then our passage turns the corner, and it talks about the deadly power of the tongue. Actually, most of the passage is about the deadly power, so you know, we have to cover that also. Death, as well as life, is in the power of the tongue. So look at verses 5 through 8. The tongue is a small member, right? Yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, meaning, you know, parts of the body. It's set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and is set on fire by hell. Wow, James, just, you know, lay it out there for us. Is death in the power of the tongue? Every kind of beast and bird, reptile, sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Wow. Poison, fire, destruction. You know, fire in the ancient world, fire in our world is fearsome and you don't want your house to catch on fire in your business. But in the ancient world, it was feared much more because they didn't have fire departments and the houses were flimsy and everything was built out of wood, you know. And if a fire started, that was it. There was very little you could do. So what's the metaphor mean? It means destruction. It has a life of its own. It rips through a community. The great Chicago fire of, was that the 1800s? The great fire of Rome back in Nero's day. It just spreads and spreads. And he says, little spark, little fire can set on ablaze a whole forest, a whole village, a whole town. And that is the deadly power of the tongue. Who you talk to, what you say, when you say it, how you say it, tone of voice, will greatly determine the course of life for your marriage, your friendships, your relationships, this church. So says the Word of God. The Red Queen in Alice in Wonderland says to Alice, once you've said a thing, that fixes it. And you must take the consequences. She says that fixes it. She doesn't mean that repairs it, although it can be done. It can be a life-giving power. She means it fixes it, like it glues it, like it affixes it. Once you've said a thing, it's said. and you must take the consequences. So says our Lord's apostle. Look, you guys, we can tame all sorts of animals, right? We can tame the powerful lions. We can tame the swift dolphins. We can tame the large elephants. We can tame the larger killer whales. We can tame the stubborn camels. We can train the swift-eyed, the eagle-eyed eagles. We can train the sharp-nosed bloodhounds. We can train the intelligent chimpanzees. We can train the stupid chickens. Nobody can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, very difficult to tame. Why is that? Why is it so hard to manage our words? Well, there's nature and there's nurture, right? Some of us have, you know, by nature, genetically, whatever, inheritance, you've been given a sharp temper. It's tough. It's tough to tame the tongue. Some of you have been given by nature, a low spirit, and you're kind of, you know, kind of an Eeyore and kind of a whiny kind of, you know. It's hard to tame the tongue. Also, nurture. We learn speech patterns from our families, from people, from our friends, from people around us. But if you go even deeper, if you dig even deeper, nature, nurture, our Lord Jesus is really talking about the heart. The inner person. Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's why it's hard to merely change the external, just the words. You got to get at the heart. The reason we speak angry words is because we're angry. The reason we speak jealous words is some heart issue. The reason we speak proud words, boastful words, is because we're proud. We have an inflated sense of self. The reason we condescend and manipulate and use the tongue for the deadly power, it's a heart issue, heart issue. Now, this simultaneous power of the tongue, life and death are in the power of the tongue, creates bizarre inconsistencies. You know, he says in verses 9 through 12, with the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with the tongue we curse people who are made in the image of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives? Can a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. So we have gathered this morning, and we have come to sing. Take my life and let it be consecrated. By the way, that was a great arrangement of that song. I don't think I've ever heard a country rocker version before. Take my life, let it. Take my will, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. I love you, Lord, and I lift my hand, and I, oh, great, oh, we pray to you. And then we walk out. Did you see so-and-so this morning? She looks like a cow. Oh, Pastor so-and-so is up on his high horse again. He's on an ego trip. Unique inconsistency. Have I mentioned that the words you speak will greatly determine the success of your relationships, your marriage, this church. No man can tame the tongue. We bless God. We curse people in the image of God. The people seated in this room are the presence, in one sense, the image of God Himself. Hard for us to remember that. Hard for us to wrap our minds around that. The people seated across from you on the train, the people next to you on the elliptical machine, the student in the desk over there, the teacher standing before you, the image of God. And we use the power of the tongue too often, for death. Our words are arrows aimed at the heart. Our words are fire meant to scorch. Our words are hammers to break up bones. And so the Word of God says there is unique inconsistency. We bless God, we curse our neighbors, our electronic neighbors, Facebook, blogging. These things ought not to be so. All right then, what is the solution? What is the solution to this problem? Death and life, life and death, under the control of this smallest member. I think the solution is to go to the heart of the issue, and the heart of the issue is the heart. Ask God to change your heart. Ask God for a soft heart so that you'll speak kind words. Ask God for a courageous heart so you'll speak truth. Ask God for a pure heart so you'll speak edifying words, not gutter words. Ask God for a humble heart so you won't brag so much. Ask God for a joyful heart so you won't complain so much. Ask God for a loving heart so you won't tear down. Now, many of you are young, but perhaps you have seen on YouTube or some, TV Land channel or something, The Lucy Show. The Lucy Show. It was probably the high point of television. It's all been downhill since then. And the finest episode ever of The Lucy Show was when Lucy and Ethel were in the candy factory. Are you with me on this? You got to look it up on YouTube. And Lucy and her good friend Ethel had a job in the candy factory. And here's a little conveyor belt, and down the conveyor belt came chocolates. And their job was to take a chocolate and wrap it and put it in the box, and take a chocolate and wrap it in, and it was no problem. They would do it, and Lucy was feeling real good about herself, like, hey, I can work outside the house, this is no problem. And the foreman, the forewoman, comes out, and she observes them, and they're doing fine. So she says, okay, Charlie, speed it up. And those chocolates come firing down that conveyor belt, and Lucy and Ethel can't keep up with it. They're wrapping them, and they're throwing them in the box. They start eating them to get rid of them. Lucy takes the chocolate. She's putting them down her shirt and in their hat. Okay. What does my analogy mean? What does my parable mean? If you want to deal with excess chocolates, you got to slow down the conveyor belt. You got to go to the factory. And our Lord Jesus says, blah, 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 blah. She looked like a cow, blah, blah, blah. Better go to the factory. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so our prayer is, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, pleasing, upright in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And there you have some teaching from the Word of God, a lesson so crucial to our unity, to the success of your family, to your success at work. It's not the only factor, but it's a big one. What you say, who you say it to, when you say it. Because life and death are in the power of the tongue. Our gracious Father, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable, pleasing, upright before you, just as your words always were. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for speaking the word to us. As a response, today let's actually meditate on what was said. Perhaps there's something from the word that he spoke to us that convicted our hearts of sin, or maybe it's an encouragement from God. Whatever it is, take this time to meditate. Where have I been deficient in my tongue? Maybe it's a person in your life, parent, spouse, child, friend, coworker. Let's just take this time to meditate, to self-examine, and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to give us courage to act on that as well.